The plan to restore Lutac Dock is underway with the first public meeting. And what to expect on the general election ballot. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The plan to shore up Haines' entry point for freight and fuel is underway. The borough hired R&M consultants to look at options to renovate or replace Lutac Dock. As KHNS's Emily Files reports, the borough is trying to make public input a key part of the project.
Borough manager Bill Seward says the municipality learned its lesson from the strife that's ensnared the small boat harbor expansion.
Well, we want to get this right the first time. We don't want the controversy that's come along with the harbor.
One controversy prevention measure, public meetings to give information and gather input. The first one took place November 1st. R&M project manager John Daly led the conversation.
You know, the Lutac Dock has been there since the 50s. It was designed by the Corps of Engineers. Give them credit, it's lasted a long time. Most of marine facilities have a 50-year design life. A lot of them, they try to squeeze more out of it.
That's pretty much what's happening with Lutac. A structural assessment 2 years ago said the dock is surviving on borrowed time. There has been a series of Band-Aid repairs in the past several years to keep it afloat, but a major renovation or replacement is needed.
You know, there's a lot of reports out there. It's been inspected by several entities. There's corrosion issues, still working, but it's got a finite service life. The good news is if you start this process now, you can do a planned replacement as opposed to an emergency replacement, which most people would think is beneficial.
If Lutac were to fail, Haines' access to freight, including groceries and other necessities, and fuel would be in jeopardy. The borough asked R&M to explore three main options. The first and cheapest option is to encapsulate the dock with new sheet pile walls, keeping the existing structure intact. The other two options involve tearing down the aging structure and replacing it with a new facility. The new facility could follow the current model, or it could be a pile-supported elevated dock. Daly says the goal is to maintain the port for the services it currently supports, although he says the mining industry has weighed in.
You know, and I would say we're going to look at some of that, but our focus is on concepts to replace the dock. You could do a whole study on economics and what the mining industry might do and how they export and on and on and on. And that's not our project, so we're not going to try to solve that problem here. But we will look at it at least in a preliminary point of view. And whatever we do, we're going to leave the door open, if you will, for future expansion.
Some at the meeting seem to be interested in having mining or future economic growth factored into the dock. But others thought going smaller would be better, especially because funding is uncertain. Here's Borough Finance Director Gila Stewart.
Is it a general obligation project that the taxpayers are going to pay for, or is it going to be paid for by the users? And if it's going to be paid for by the users, we either need more users, the current users need to spend a whole lot more money, or we need to narrow the scope of the project. So I hope that we're still talking about the reduced footprint.
Okay, so money. We're into money already. It didn't take long. So, we'll look at a wide range of options for you. We can add that to the list.
R&M plans to present those design options at a second public meeting scheduled for December 6th. In the meantime, residents interested in adding their input can go to lutacdock.com to do just that. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Tuesday is General Election Day, and voters in Alaska have several decisions to make. Nationwide, voters will decide on the next president and vice president. Six candidates and their running mates are on the ballot. Voters in Alaska will be asked to choose a candidate for U.S. Senate from a list of six contenders. Also on the ballot are four candidates for U.S. Representative. Democrat Sam Keto III is the only candidate on the ballot for State Representative District 33. Haines Libertarian Bill McCord launched a write-in campaign for the seat, but elections officials say his votes won't be counted because he doesn't meet the residency requirement. Voters will also be asked to weigh in on two ballot measures. The first question is whether qualified Alaskans should be automatically registered to vote when applying for the permanent fund dividend, unless they choose to opt out. The second ballot measure asks whether a constitutional amendment should be adopted to allow Alaska to issue general obligation bonds backed by the state for student loans. There are also several judicial questions on the ballot. Voters will have a say on whether to retain seven judges and justices from the state Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, Superior Court, and District Court. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. In Haines, voters in Precinct 1 will cast ballots at the Chilkat Center. The Precinct 2 polling station is the Klaheeny Valley Fire Department on Mosquito Lake Road. In Skagway, voting takes place at City Hall. In Klukwan, polling is at the ANS Hall. You can view a sample ballot along with this story on khns.org. Juneau Democrat Sam Keto is running for his second full term representing State House District 33. That includes the capital cities downtown, Douglas, Haines, Skagway, Klukwan, Excursion Inlet, and Gustavus. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Sam Keto III was appointed to his House seat in 2014 after then-Representative Beth Kurtula stepped down. The 18-year Juneau resident, who was born in Anchorage, is a civil engineer who has worked on transportation projects around the state. He spent this year's election season talking about state budget issues. During a forum at this fall's Southeast Conference meeting in Petersburg, he said that includes a variety of taxes and capping permanent fund dividends.
I do appreciate the work that Governor Walker has put into his fiscal sustainability plan, because we need to look at a lot of different sources of revenue to try and balance the amount of money that we've lost because of low oil prices.
Keto says it's important to continue essential services such as schools, the university, and the state ferry system. He says action must be taken during the upcoming legislative session to bring in new revenue. That, he says, will help keep the state out of a recession.
If we do have increases in oil prices down the road, and we already have a sustainable fiscal plan, then that money can be used to bolster our permanent fund and result in increased permanent fund dividends.
The Juneau Democrat says any new revenue must be spent responsibly, but reducing PFDs, new taxes, and other options buy the state time.
Balancing the budget doesn't mean providing a whole lot of extra money for state agencies to do what state agencies do, which is provide public services to the state of Alaska, to the residents. It raises enough money so that we can have those discussions about whether or not we're spending adequate money on education, spending adequate money on health care, or spending adequate money on transportation.
The past few years, state budget cuts have hit municipalities and school districts. To help, Keto says the state should continue its obligation to keep the local share of public employee retirement programs reasonable.
It's something that I think we need to honor in order to make sure that in these financial times that are getting difficult, we're not putting excess or undue pressure on the local governments.
This is Keto's second time on the ballot. He won a contested election in 2014, but this time around, he has no officially recognized opposition. Haines Libertarian William Bill McCord has announced a write-in campaign for the seat, but elections officials say those votes won't be counted. That's because he hasn't lived in Alaska long enough to qualify for the ballot. With help from Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For the second time in the past month, an area goat hunter was rescued after sustaining injuries while hiking. Alaska State Troopers were notified around 4:30 p.m. Thursday that a hunter had been injured and was in need of assistance. According to troopers, Haines-based hunting guide Larry Benda was hiking with his client Glenn Eckett of Texas when Eckett fell. He sustained a non-life-threatening injury but was unable to hike back down. The two were on a ridge to the northeast of Chilkoot Lake. Troopers requested assistance from the U.S. Coast Guard, but poor weather prevented them from responding that day. According to troopers, the two were equipped to spend the night, and the Coast Guard was able to locate the hunters just before noon on Friday. According to the Coast Guard, Eckett was airlifted back to town, receiving local medical attention. Benda declined transportation. At the end of October, a hunting guide was rescued off Porcupine Peak after he fell and broke his leg on a successful goat hunt with two clients. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.